Good night, radio listeners. I am Apostle Janice James of Sharma Outreach Movement. Sharma Outreach Movement is a faith-based organization that reaches out to people, taking them from where they are to where God wants them to be, to a place of wholeness, fulfillment, and purpose in Jesus Christ. This series of our Reaching Out program aims to reach out to believers in particular and the backslider, to help them improve their outcomes by improving their relationship with God. Our hope is that by what we say and do, non-believers will desire to become believers. And so we say we truly appreciate you for taking the time to join us. In our last session, we highlighted a few of the important things shared with you in 2022, then released what we sense was the word of the Lord for 2023. This week, however, we will discuss the issue of offense many are carrying into this new year. God wants you to be free and to stay free. And so to share this with me are Minister Alenia Hendricks.
Good night, radio listeners.
And Minister Elizabeth Purcell Sargent.
Good night, radio listeners.
Now, I just want to start by saying New Year's blessings to all our radio listeners. Know that we appreciate you and speak God's favor over you. As you place greater focus on God's purpose for your life in 2023, I declare that you will experience uncommon breakthroughs. So get ready for more. But in preparation for this more, I sense the need to address the issue of offense in the lives of believers. This is an issue that continues to plague many in the church and their personal relationships. Right in those personal relationships. The Spirit of the Lord is putting the spotlight on the condition of our hearts. Someone listening tonight is stuck because of taking offense, but God wants you to be free so that you can experience the more of Him that you have been longing for. As a body, we believe the church is in the last hour. And it is time for the bride to shine. Radio friends, as a believer, it is important you bear in mind that the enemy of your soul has warred against you so that you suffer repeated offense, causing you to be emotionally unhealthy. God wants to bring transformation in Christ to those untouched deep places within our soul, which will in turn transform all our relationship, our relationship with God and our relationship with others. It does not matter who you are, whether in the pulpit or the pew. Offense has touched you at some time or the other. It has caused you to be bitter, angry, resentful, to withdraw yourself in an unhealthy way, to watch people cut eye or give them a bad eye, as some people call it, to lose your joy, to silently harbor revenge in your heart, and even to suffer ill health because of the stress of the deep pain you suffer. And more than anything else, my friends, to weaken or even bring death to your relationship with God. While we cannot ignore that you and I have taken offense, sometimes for simple things, and sometimes for the cruelest things said and done to us, radio friends, hear me. You must believe, not just know, what Christ came to do for you and me. Jesus said that he came to set the captives free, and to bring life and life more abundantly. So recognize when you are captured by the spirit of offense and know that God wants to set you free and bring life into that dead area of your life. May I remind you, woman of God, man of God, may I remind you, child of God, may I remind you, you have been created with a destiny and a purpose. When you're in that dark place of offense, know what? It is easy to be derailed from fulfilling your destiny. You are easily blinded to the reality that there is an enemy who wants to steal your destiny from you. And guess what? You actually cooperate with him. Do you agree with me that everyone has suffered offense? I'm sure you do. But be assured, my friends, that tonight the Holy Spirit desires to shine his light on this enemy and lift the skirts on his wicked schemes as you are pushed out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And as you begin this journey, be open to the provision that God has made for you to walk in total freedom and victory. This is the time to learn how to come in the opposite spirit and love as Christ loved. And in 1 Peter 2:23, we are told, "And while being reviled, he," that is Christ, "he did not revile in return while suffering. He uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." And I say hallelujah to that. So let us now dive in and begin to take a look at this silent predator whose evil deeds have been overlooked, ignored, and underestimated throughout time.
Yes. And radio friends, you may be asking, what exactly is the spirit of offense? What is an offense? The word offense, when used in the Bible, means entrap or trip up. It means entice to sin. Other meanings may include a cause for stumbling, an act of wickedness, impediment. Impediment is defined as anything that causes a hindrance. The dictionary even defines offense as an annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult to or disregard for oneself. So will you agree with me, my radio friends, that we are faced with opportunities every day to respond with our opinion, to have resentment, or to respond with anger and annoyance, which can burn bridges that cause even greater offense? Yes, we can therefore conclude that an offense can only be an offense depending on how we choose to respond to what comes at us. Let me give you an example. I remember that I was extremely annoyed at my brother for the way he handled a sensitive situation and how he spoke to me. I was really offended by his actions, and I held on to that for a few years, and I settled in my perception that he was wrong and I was right. But you know what? It weakened the trusted relationship I once had with him. And radio friends, when we have been mistreated, we immediately meditate on the injustice. And it is at that point that the spirit of offense starts to settle in. But you know what? Then it begins to build up pressure on our inside, until it brings us to that place where we have to vent and tell someone. No, this someone is never just someone. But the enemy, he will entice us to tell someone who will sympathize and defend us and take up an offense for us. This is why offense is considered dangerous, because it's a sin that causes others to fall into sin by poisoning the heart of others. Now, people who entertain offense sow discord among the brethren. Why? Because when we are offended, we will look for those people who will agree with us. And that spirit of offense is never satisfied with only one person knowing. No, it has an insatiable appetite and will seek to involve others.
True.
I call it dumping your mess into someone else's bucket. But you know, in reality, it is planting your seed into the hearts of others. Now, we are well aware that that seed will produce after its own kind. So you know what happens? Self-pity has now entered in and begins looking for someone to come in agreement and take up an offense. And such is the old saying that we have, misery loves company. So you know what? If Jane offended me, I will seek to justify my anger and my hurt. And if someone is willing to have an open ear, I will give justification for my wound. You know why? Because it's all about me. So that train to disaster has now begun to roll. And gossip and slander joins company with the offense team. Now, gossip and slander are a team whose strategy is contention, division, and murder. So watch out. They work to defame and destroy character. They are known as character assassins and should not be found in you, my radio friends, nor ever in the body of Christ.
And I totally agree with that. Now, radio friends, let us ponder on what is the root cause of offense and why it hits our emotions so hard. If you check the root cause, you may be shocked to discover that we often take offense whenever something is said or done to us that affects us in one or more of the following ways. For example, your ego or your pride has been affected. How about your self-image or reputation? Your beliefs or your perceived rights? And this may happen when you're confronted with truth, when you have been jilted or even simply ignored, when your past privileges are taken away, when your wrong motives and weaknesses are exposed, when you perceive someone took something from you, when you perceive that something sacred to you is being violated, when you are no longer in control, when you're forced to maintain boundaries, when you perceive you are being disrespected, when someone you consider less than you corrects you. Or how about when we think our sacrifice for God outweighs his sacrifice for us? Now, David Bednar said, and I totally agree, that when we believe or say we have been offended, what we usually mean is that we feel insulted. We feel mistreated, snubbed, or disrespected. And you know, certainly clumsy, embarrassing, unprincipled, and mean-spirited things do occur in our interactions with other people that would allow us to take offense. But you know what, radio friends? Hear this. It is ultimately impossible for another person to offend you or to offend me. Yes. In fact, believing that another person offended us is a lie. It's fundamentally false. You see, to be offended is a choice that we make. It is not a condition inflicted or imposed upon us by someone or something else. Hear me again. To be offended is a choice that we make. It is not a condition inflicted or imposed upon us by someone or something else.
Yes.
And you know, Brigham Young went further, and I really love this quote. He says, he who takes offense when offense was not intended is a fool. Yet, he who takes offense when offense is intended is an even greater fool, for he has succumbed to the will of his adversary. Think about that.
Wow, Miss Alenia, that is so profound. I like that. I love that quote. But let us consider the effects of harboring offense. Radio friends, the major effect is that it keeps you from loving like God.
True.
Yes. And it is a bait or a trap that hardens your heart and separates you from others. Listen to what Proverbs 18:19 tells us explicitly. It is harder to win back the friendship of an offended brother than to capture a fortified city. Imagine that. His anger shuts you out like iron bars. Wow. And we want to add to that, but God. But God. Another effect is that offense accelerates deception. In making reference to false prophets in the last days, Matthew 24:11 says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And what we are seeing today is that many false prophets are making their way onto the scene through offenses. You know what I have noticed? I have noticed that people who are easily offended are quick to misinterpret what others say. They are often deceived into taking everything personally and are very judgmental. You know why? Their mind habitually moves into a negative mood.
And that is true, eh?
Yes. Yet another effect is that offenses produce lawlessness. Listen, radio listeners, an offended person couldn't care less about you. Yes, they don't care about you. They become cold and they will violate your rights, even the natural and spiritual laws of restraint.
Yep.
Listen to what Matthew 24 tells us. And because iniquity, which is lawlessness, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That means it shall grow cold.
And Minister Elizabeth, believe it or not, that verse referring to believers too, eh?
Yes.
But let it be known, radio friends, offenses rule only in those that are spiritually immature.
Amen.
You see, we see in the parable of the sower in Mark 4:16-17, where the word was sown in rocky soil. And it says the rocky soil represents the heart of those who hear the message with joy. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. And though at first they get along fine, as soon as persecution begins, they wilt. And from this verse, we see the reality, my friends, that after many years as a Christian, you and even I may still remain a spiritual babe because we fail to grow, even though we never fail to go to church. This makes us vulnerable to the spirit of offense when conflict arises. And the next question we ask is, why do we stay offended for so long? You know, there are people who are offended for years and some who even take their offense to the grave. But the simple answer is this, because we choose to. We choose to ignore God's pattern of behavior and follow our own pattern. The Word of God tells us plainly that offense is a sin of unforgiveness. And the root of staying offended is unforgiveness. But Matthew 6:15 warns us, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we see God's pattern is forgiveness. Offenses also thrive where there is a lack of love. And sadly, offenses cause love to grow cold. Yet, God's pattern is love. The heart of offense, though, is hatred. And Matthew 24:10 tells us, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. We see man's pattern is hatred. And you know, even in the Bible, we find an example of people whose actions were rooted in offense. Like for example, in Genesis 4, Cain was offended because God didn't accept his offering. And even though God had warned Cain that sin is crouching at his door and desires to have him, but he must master it, Cain didn't take God's advice, you know. He submitted to the spirit of offense, and we all know he murdered his brother Abel. But radio friends, Cain didn't just get to that place of murder, you know. It was the offense that caused him to meditate on the resentment that he felt. And then, instead of mastering the enemy, what happened? He chose to retaliate and take revenge. Now, this story, like others in the Bible, is so important to us today, because they are patterns of those who have traveled before us. As 1 Corinthians 10:11 tells us, these things happen to them as an example, and they are written for our instruction.
So we do not take lightly the examples of others. We should ought to learn from them, yes? So my question to you, radio friends, is who or what have offended you? Yes? So let us first say that your actions will pinpoint any unforgiveness residing in your heart as a result of offense. So what we're asking you to do is to use these measuring tools to determine your pattern. Do you ever find yourself avoiding people when you see them? Or do you experience a negative emotion rising up in you? By these, you can know you have received offense through them. If you cannot say you have a desire to see them blessed as you want to be blessed, then you can determine you have not yet fully forgiven them. When you hear something unfortunate has happened to them, is there a thought that says, he deserves that? Or, I'm not surprised. Or, I know that will happen to you. What about that tinge of pleasure and that big smile you feel when you hear bad things about that person? Be sure, people of God, that if there is a wall of separation in your heart, you can know that you have unforgiveness in there.
So true. Yes. You know, Apostle, offense creates offense.
Yes. And so we are bringing this program to close, and we want to leave this question with you. What or who are you offended with? And in your time of devotion, ask the Holy Spirit to bring names and faces to mind. Now join us as we pray. Father, I declare your word will touch the hearts of those you have sent it to. I speak deliverance and transformation as they yield to the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. This is Apostle Janice James saying we are looking forward to reaching out to you on the 2nd and 4th Saturday of each month. And in our next session on January the 28th, we will begin to look at how we biblically handle offense. Now, together with my team, we say,
Jesus loves you just as you are.
Goodbye. Good.